Good morning. It's good to see each of you here. I was blessed by the songs that you led, David, and encouraged by those, O God, our help in ages past, and also not just in the ages, but even presently. And we can claim that presence and that help that He wants to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, Lord, with grateful hearts. We're looking forward to worship. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have to come together. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this service. Pray that you would speak to us this morning. May we be encouraged and drawn to you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Lyle as he preaches up in Elkhart. Bless the service there and each one who attends. May your will be done there also. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Today I'm going to be preaching out of Romans 12 again, and I find this message to be, as I looked at it, a simple message in some ways. But yet sometimes I feel, I don't know how you find it, but sometimes I feel like when I look at the Christian life, I think, well, it's so confusing. There's so much in it, and it gets complicated, and sometimes there's parts of it that can maybe just about be discouraging because I think, well, how am I ever going to live everything out the way Scripture asks? But as I look at this morning's message, I'm just reminded that the plan of salvation is so simple. And I think sometimes, in its simplicity, I get confused and I get bogged down because maybe it's so simple and so, God's word is so instructive, but then I'm trying to figure out how can I do this simple thing, how can I fulfill this simple thing, but do it my way, or maybe not do exactly what God wants me to do. And so I start getting caught up with Kendall and what he wants to do versus what God is asking of me. And I pray this morning as we go through this message that you could be encouraged, that we as brothers could live this message out. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And I'd like for you to stand. We're going to read together starting in verse 10. I'd like to read verse 10 through 15. And so let's all stand. So he's speaking to the church. Again, Paul is, and he's giving us instruction, and it's clear instruction that's simple, but yet sometimes we miss certain parts of it. So let's begin to read in verse 10, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read five verses, so 10 through 15.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
You may be seated. I'm going to be preaching on verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, I was trying to think of a good illustration this morning to go along with this message, and I came back to an illustration that we see throughout the Bible, and it's actually used earlier in this chapter, and that is just the illustration of the body and how we're so connected. You know, have you ever experience something, or maybe a day went well, or you know, we have a day like today where the sun is beautiful, and there's something about it that our whole body, like our step, is just lighter throughout the day. I mean, there's something inside of us that there's just a joy that comes out, and actually we see it sometimes in people. So as a person walks, we would say there's a spring in their step, and we see that. There's something light about them. You can tell that person is feeling good. They're experiencing something today that is a joy to them. And in the same way, sometimes we see people and we can just tell by the way that they walk in or by the way that they're going about their day that something's going on. There's something in that person's life. There's something, either they're having a bad day or they've experienced something and it weighs them down. And if you've ever experienced that, you know what I mean. You know, you wake up and the day looks huge, and I find that it doesn't matter what I face. The grass is taller and everything is it's work. And it doesn't matter what you do, it just weighs down on you. I recently had a day like that, and I just wish I could wake up the next day. And when I did, the following day, nothing had really changed, but my spirit, there was something different about my spirit. I'm not sure what it was. And you know, the body is like that. When there's something that affects one part of the body, it affects the whole part. And the church is like that, should be like that. When one part of the body is experiencing something, we as a church should experience it with them. If it's joy, we should experience joy. If somebody is going through a time of sorrow or facing something, we as a church should experience that with them. But do we take the time to do it? You see, we're all connected. We're all connected as part of Christ's body. And so what you're experiencing should affect me. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Christ in his teaching in Luke chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go through Luke chapter 15. There are three stories here that Christ, three parables that he is teaching from. And I find something interesting in those three stories, and I don't think maybe the story in themselves, the principle that Jesus was trying to teach, that it's probably those principles are probably why we typically hear these stories. But I want to draw something else out of these stories. The first one is about the lost sheep. And Jesus is using the analogy of a shepherd. And he says the shepherd goes out and he brings his sheep all together. And as he brings them into the fold, he begins counting. And I imagine the shepherd counting, you know, each sheep as they go through the door. And he's making sure everyone's there. And when he gets done, he comes up with 99. And so he goes in, and I can imagine him recounting and separating these sheep again and figuring out and making sure that they're all there. And he comes up with one missing again. And it says that shepherd goes out. And I don't know, is it a nice night or is it a stormy night? But that shepherd goes out because he's concerned about that one sheep that's lost. And he goes out and he begins to search. And it says eventually he finds that sheep. And it says he puts it on his shoulders. And if you can imagine with me that shepherd going back to the fold, his job is complete now. He has all his sheep, and he's taking them back to the fold. He takes it back to the fold, puts the sheep in the fold, and with a spring in his step, he goes back to his house. And it says he calls his neighbors and his friends. I'm going to read that in verse 6. It says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." This shepherd put extra effort into going and finding that sheep. And when he comes back, he's so excited that he calls other people with him. He says, "Come, let's rejoice. I found my sheep. My sheep are all safely in the fold." And he extends that joy to his friends and neighbors and invites them to experience that joy with him. And then Jesus goes on to say in the next verse, he says in verse 7, "And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So Jesus is saying, just like that shepherd experienced that joy then with his neighbors and with his friends, he's saying up in heaven, there's a rejoicing when somebody is saved. Even the angels and those who are in heaven, the heavenly beings, rejoice because of the sheep that is brought back into the fold. He goes on the next part of that scripture, and he talks about the woman who lost her coin. And she begins, and I don't know how many, maybe she had 10 coins, and she starts counting her coins, and suddenly one is gone. And with diligence, she begins to sweep. And I imagine her picking up the carpets and looking underneath the beds and going through her house, searching for that lost coin. And it says, eventually she finds the coin. And when she finds that coin, what does she do? It says, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And so because of her excitement and her joy of having found this, she invites her friends and her neighbors to experience it with her. And she says, come, rejoice with me. I had a lost coin and I found it. Come and rejoice with me. And then Jesus says, not only does she rejoice on earth, but it says in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So again, not only is there joy on earth, not only does this woman invite her neighbors and her friends to experience this joy, but it says there's joy in heaven when one sinner comes to Christ. The third story that Jesus shares is a story of the prodigal son, and we're familiar with that story. A story of two sons, and the one son who came to his father and said, Father, I'd like to have my inheritance. I'm going to leave. And that son goes to town, or goes somewhere, goes out of, maybe out of state, we would say, and he begins living life up, enjoying life, he thinks. And he comes to a certain point where one day he's out working and out feeding these pigs. And he discovers, you know what, these pigs have better food than I do. And he changes his way. And this son decides, you know, I'm going to go back to dad. I'm going to go back to the farm. And I'm going to change my ways. And that son makes a turnaround as such in life. And he goes home. And I don't know what time of the year it was, but imagine with me, maybe it's springtime, and maybe it's a busy time. Maybe it's a day like today where it's beautiful, and dad has work to do. But dad, throughout the years in his mind, has been wondering, where's my son at? And dad is working on machinery, maybe getting ready to go plant that day, and suddenly he sees somebody walking down the road. And he sees a plodding step of his son. And as his son comes home, his father sees, it is my son. And the father goes out to the son. And I can imagine him embracing his son and welcoming him home and asking, son, what brings you home? And the son begins to tell him, dad, I've sinned. I've made a mistake. I've lived a terrible life. I haven't been true to you. I haven't been faithful to you. I haven't been faithful to God. And you know, at that time, the father has a decision to make. That father at that time can either say, well, I wondered how long it was going to take you to come to that decision. And you're right, you did make a mistake. It's good to have you home. He could have had that attitude, but instead that father welcomed him home. It says he put a ring on his finger. He must have seen his son didn't have anything on his feet. It says he put shoes on his feet. And then what does he do? He tells his servants, he says, go kill the fatted calf, right? Go prepare a celebration. Fire up the green egg, we would say. Get the green egg going. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate that this son has come home. And so they begin to make this celebration. Now, meanwhile, the brother is out in the field. And if it was planting time, I'm guessing maybe the brother was working ground all day, and he's expecting that about noon, dad should be out with the planter, right? And so he's out in the field, and he's watching, keep looking up and wondering. Now, When's dad going to come out and start planning? I would think by noon he would be out by now. And he starts to wonder where dad's at. And dad doesn't show up. And it gets to be 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And finally, that son says, well, dad must be having problems with the planter. So I'll just run back to the farm and see what's going on. And so he goes back to the farm. And when he gets there, he smells somebody grilling. And here it is. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this son begins to wonder, what's going on? And suddenly he hears, when he turns off the tractor, he hears there's music and there's cars pulling in. And it looks like it's either a graduation party or something's going on. And this son begins to wonder, well, what did I forget? And maybe he gets out his phone, right, and checks what was planned for today. What did we have going on? And finally he asks one of the hired men, he says, did I miss something? What's going on today? Why are the neighbors all here? Why are our friends coming? What are we grilling? And the hired hand says, oh, your younger brother came home today. He says, really? He says, yeah. He said, your younger brother came home. So your dad said, hey, we're not going to work this afternoon, and we're going to invite friends, and we're just going to have a good time together. And that brother has a different response than what his father did. And that brother goes to his father and says, Dad, what's going on? We've got fields to plant. And father begins to tell him, he says, well, your younger brother came home. We've been waiting for him to come home for years. He says, the older brother probably thought, well, yeah, now we can have a little more help in the fields. Why don't you put him in a tractor? Let's get going. Let's work, Dad. We've got field work to do. And his father kind of rebukes him, but he says, you know what? Your brother was lost, and now he has come home. He's now safe and sound. And we're going to rejoice because of that. And the older brother is not impressed at all. And he decides not to join in with that celebration. I think the older brother is maybe thinking about the years that the younger brother wasn't there and all the extra work that it made for him. He's thinking about how that younger brother squandered his inheritance that dad gave him. He's thinking about all the times where they could have really used more help. Because, see, he's human just like I am. That would have probably been my response. I would have said, yeah, it's time for you to come home and help. We could have used you the last couple of years, and you were gone. You were missing. But you see, the father was focusing on where his younger son was headed now, today. He was focused on the change. To him, he didn't see his son as having been missing, but now he saw a return son, a son who was there, a son who had a change of heart and was wanting something new. And because of that, the father decides to rejoice, and he invites neighbors and friends to come and rejoice with them. You see, God is such a relational God. This story is such a picture of Jesus and how God waits in anticipation. Each of these stories, as we typically read them, we think of somebody coming to the Lord and God being the loving God that He is and waiting on that person to come and drawing him and waiting for that prodigal son to make that turn. And I think God is such a loving God that he desires that. And I find it interesting in each of those instances when that coin was found, when that sheep was found, when that son returned, that it says there was rejoicing in heaven. I can just imagine God being up in heaven and telling the angel choir, hey, there's someone who's just about to make a commitment. Get ready to sing. We're getting ready to rejoice. He's getting real close and watching and anticipating. And when that person makes a commitment to Christ, saying, okay, go ahead, lead the singing, and all of heaven rejoices. You see, God is that type of God. He's waiting and he's on time. God isn't the type of God who says, who's so busy that he has to check his phone and say, oh, so-and-so just accepted the Lord. We're going to have, it would suit tomorrow night to rejoice. No, you see, that's not the kind of God that God is. God is a God of a relational God. God has time right now when somebody accepts him to rejoice. And he invites all of heaven to rejoice with him. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. How about us at church? How about us in the brotherhood? When there's somebody experiencing a joy, do I choose to experience that joy with him? Do I choose to, or do I have time to rejoice with him? What does that look like? I have a few practical suggestions for us. One is just showing interest in one another as a brotherhood, knowing what's going on, anticipating a wedding coming up, or a graduation, or a new baby that's coming. And then when that happens, rejoicing with that person, calling them or texting them, whatever it may be. You know, I remember when we had a baby, and I'm not sure if it was the first one or second one, but I remember going to and I was excited. I thought, man, this is just amazing. You know, this can't believe, and the baby was healthy, and I was excited as a father. And I remember going to a church meeting, and some of my friends mentioned something, but I was just amazed that, like, even some of the older men, I didn't hear anything from them, and I thought, are you guys asleep? I mean, we just had a baby. I mean, this is amazing, and you young families know what I mean. It changed everything, right? And the house is different, and it's new, and it's exciting, and yet I didn't get that sense at church, right? But see, now I can identify because I'm kind of past that stage. We haven't had one for six, pushing 7 years now, right? And I think, oh yeah, it probably didn't, you know, you kind of forget how it changes your life. But is that how it should be? Can I experience those joys that other people have? Do I have time to experience them with them? To call them, to make some kind of connection, or to stop in and visit, or just acknowledge that, how's it going? How's the baby doing? I'm excited for you. I'm glad you have a healthy baby. Connecting with them in ways like that. Maybe somebody gets a new job. Do I even know that they get a new job? Maybe they're excited about their job. Do I take time to ask them about, how's it going? How's your new job going? What are you experiencing? And, oh, I'm so glad for you. That job fits you. I think you'll do well in that. Is that being Christ-like? Is that experiencing joy with others? Maybe somebody has a new home. Can I bless them in that new home? And say, you know what? I think you're going to enjoy this. Maybe somebody's successful in business. Can I experience that joy with them and tell them, you know what, I see certain things you're doing in your business that are good. I see your employees doing this and this, and I see you taking care of them. Bless you, brother. Bless you for investing in your employees, and I'm excited to see what God's doing in your business. Stay focused. Stay true. Can I experience joy like that? Maybe I see faithful youth. Can I experience that joy with the parents? Express that to the parents. As parents, sometimes we get weary of the teaching, and sometimes I wonder, is anything sticking, right? And it's always encouraging to hear somebody say, you know, I see something in your child, and I appreciate it. But do I do that to others? Do I go to others, encourage them, and say, Your children are being faithful and enjoy with them, rejoice with them in that. Or maybe I see a personal growth in somebody and I can point back and say, you know what? I've seen growth in your life. And I remember when you were here at this point in your life, but I see growth. And now I see you here and I see you growing. And I'm just grateful for that. And I just want to encourage you to continue to grow. Do I know my brother good enough to know what's going on in his life and rejoice with him? It's pretty simple. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Reach out to others that are around you. Reach out to those who are in church with you and rejoice with them when there's something exciting going on in their life. Scripture says that when somebody comes to the Lord, all of heaven rejoices. There's a rejoicing on earth, but there's also a rejoicing in heaven. And is that how I feel about the success of my brothers and sisters? Is that when I look around the room and I see others doing well with their families, with their businesses, whatever it may be, their personal walk with the Lord, does it excite me? Is there something inside of me that just wants to say, praise the Lord, brother, I'm excited about what's going on in your life? You see, when we do that, there's a couple things that happen. You see, when joy is shared, it begins to reproduce. You see, not only when I see you enjoying something and I bless you because of it, see, now I'm a part of that. Now I'm a part of that joy, and it begins to reproduce. It begins to reciprocate to me also, and suddenly it brings me a joy also to see you joying in something and rejoicing in it. It expands, it reproduces, it multiplies, it has a way of just enlarging. And now we're both enjoying it, or maybe the whole church is enjoying it because of something that somebody has been blessed with. It's a joy that should run through the whole body. So suddenly the whole church, because of something that's happening, a positive thing that's happening in somebody else's life, the whole body should now have a spring in its step, right? Because we as a body are looking around saying, God's at work here. God's doing something in my brothers and sisters. And I'm just excited to be part of this body. And suddenly it's uplifting to me. And I begin to share with others. Did you hear what's going on in his life? Have you seen the brother? Have you seen what God's doing in his life? No, I didn't notice that. Yes, look at that. And we begin to rejoice with one another because God is working in our lives. And it affects all of us. It should bring a spring in our step as a church as we look around and see God working in our lives. It also prolongs that joy, I believe. Sometimes life seems like we have these little mountaintops and then we have these valleys. And we have the little mountaintop and then the long valley. And I think as we share those joys together, it should prolong those joys, and we should enjoy them with one another. We should continue to rejoice with those who are around us. And also, it should cause us to reflect back to God in thanks. Not glorying in one another, but saying, it's because of God that this happened in my life. And reflect back to God. Give him the honor and glory for what we're experiencing. It's also an example to our children, I believe. As our children see us looking around and focusing on the positive things that are going on in church, focusing on the joyful things that others are experiencing, our brothers and sisters, it's an example to our children to also enjoy the Christian life. It's not all valleys. There are good times, and I think we should experience those together. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. Actually, I'm going to read two verses. It says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Do I care enough to enjoy and rejoice with those around me? Do I know my brothers and sisters good enough, well enough, to rejoice with them? I think it's important that all the church should be affected when there's joy amongst us. I think we should take time to rejoice with those who are around us, to take an interest in their life, to look for positive things that are going on in others' lives and reach out to them and say, "You're doing well, brother," and experience that joy with them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you. Lord, thank you for this body. And Lord, I pray that as we experience your joys, may you be honored and glorified through them. Lord, help us to identify with one another in the things that you're doing in our lives, and may we give you honor and glory. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged by your work among us. And Lord, even in these scriptures, as we see when these people chose to rejoice with others around them, that others were encouraged and drawn to you through that. Lord, help us to be those kinds of people who rejoice with those who are beside us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.